if you're even half as old as I am right now, you probably remember at least a portion of what used to be called the Bible Belt down in the southern United States. It was supposed to be the born-again Christian Bible Belt, a movement that was sweeping the nation back in the I believe it was in the 70s, 60s and 70s, around there. Yeah, the gospel of Jesus Christ was making a lot of inroads that had never been traveled before. It was really something to behold. I heard a lot about it, and I was just, I wasn't even a born-again Christian then, but I still heard about it. Anyway, that infamous Bible Belt of the southern U.S. was almost bursting at the seams. But now, well, it would appear that same belt has completely fallen off. And our Baptist pants are dragging on the floor. Yes, they are. Perhaps some big names like Graham and Falwell somehow got caught up in that new evangelical shuffle and lost some favor with the Lord. Back then, well, folks everywhere was calling Christ Lord. And a mighty surge was sweeping the land. People from every walk of life were streaming to their local churches. Then it seemed like overnight, the Lord just pulled the plug, pulled away his blessings, and went into hiding. Was it something we said? Or was it something in the water? For this reason, I've named my sermon, Baptist Belt Loses Its Drawers. Baptist Belt Loses Its Drawers. At first, it looked like everybody in the Western Hemisphere had their heart set on becoming a born-again Christian. Before we go any further, I'd like to say a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing upon my message. Dear Lord, thank you again for this opportunity you've given me, Lord, to preach this word, thy word, Lord. I pray that those who are listening, that their ears would be open, their hearts would be receptive, Lord. When all is said and done, may they receive a blessing. May they be more informed, Lord. And may you be glorified through what is said here today, Lord. For I ask this in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Churches, you know, were beginning to grow like wildfire all over them states. And they just kept getting bigger and bigger. Conversions were as popular as the newest movie flicks. And of course, there was money to be made. Big money. We all thought that God was smiling down upon us, I guess. The word Christ was on most everyone's lips. Trouble is, the lips were as far as the name got. You see, those lips are about a good foot away from the heart. It may be only a foot from your lips to your heart, but it just might as well have been a mile or more for most folks. If you look in Acts 2, verse 21, what is said here is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And over in Romans 10, the Word of God says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. Saved. They neglected to include the rest of the verse, though. and shall believe in thine heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So let's put it all together. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. Are you getting the picture here? Believe in thine heart? Believe what? I have to ask you that, even though I just said it. Believe who? Call on who? Nothing can poison a church of God faster than omitting important words of Scripture. You see, that's when the trouble really starts. That's when God backs off and the devil moves in. And as it turned out, and it's growing like wildfire today, many of these so-called Christians never really left their old sinful lifestyle. Oh, they're fine people, and they say they believe in the Lord, but the cross of Christ, unfortunately, is of none effect. You see, believing you're born again and having the indwelling Holy Spirit are two essentials that must go together. They must go together. You can't have one without the other. You can't. I mean, they're fine people for the most part, but they know almost nothing about the cross. And it's not because they don't care. Oh, they care, all right. It's the Bible. They don't read it. It's the church that they don't go to, or the church now that they do go to, if you get what I'm saying here. Everything just kind of fell apart. Went south, as they say. You ever heard the expression? Over in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, the Word of God has this to say. Matthew 7, 21 to 23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And in verse 23, here's the clincher. And then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So you see, it's a two-way street. You can travel both ways on it, but only one way is the Lord's way. Only one way is the Lord's way. You see, my whole point here is that many call out to the Lord for salvation. They walk an aisle. They repeat after whomever. But in their hearts, there's something missing. It's the key that opens the door so the Holy Spirit can come in. You see, without the indwelling Holy Spirit, salvation has none effect. As soon as you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes in, lives inside you. Without the indwelling Holy Spirit, there is no salvation. Do you get that? Without the indwelling Holy Spirit, there is no salvation. Don't try to con the Lord. He's a lot wiser than you or me or anybody. Some who call Christ Lord may even prophesy and perform miracles of some kind, but still not be saved. You know, that old devil's capable of performing some miracles too, you know. But this would indicate that the devil cut you off at the pass. And you didn't quite make it all the way to the cross. Or you may have had your feet in motion. You may have been pointed in the right direction. But you never quite made it to the cross. Do you get what I'm saying? This is why Paul warns us to examine ourselves to see if we really are in the faith. Take the test. Are old things passed away or passing away? Are they passed away or passing away? Behold, have all things become new? Do you see? If you're actually a child of God, if you've crossed that line from unsaved to saved, if you were born again Christian, that's the bottom line, then old things begin to pass away. Now, a lot of people go faster than others. Things pass away a lot quicker with some people than they do with others. Others, it takes quite a while. But nonetheless, all things pass away. And behold, all things become new. In other words, that gang you're hanging around with down at the corner, or you're having a beer with in the pub, or you're gallivanting out down the highways doing this, screaming and hollering and making fuss over everything, causing a calamity in your community. If you still enjoy doing that stuff, if that's what you feel you have to do, then you just didn't make it all the way to the cross. You didn't make it. You better go back to square one and start all over again. In 1 Corinthians 12:3, here's what we read. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man, speaking by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that dwelleth in you. Once you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you can say, Jesus is Lord. He's my Lord. But without the Holy Spirit, you're just blowing in the wind. That's all you're doing, is blowing in the wind. So how then do we explain that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved? Sounds kind of easy, doesn't it? Well, it is easy. A lot of things are easy to say, but you got to have your heart in them. You got to have a desire. And when it comes to salvation, you got to have repentance in your heart. You see, repentance precedes salvation. You have to turn away from that old lifestyle. And when you get saved, you see, then the Holy Spirit comes in and helps you. He helps you to make the right decisions. He helps you to throw away those old things that have been bothering the Lord, that the Lord can't look upon you because you're carrying that garbage bag full of sin. The Holy Spirit is there to help you grow, to help you change, to help you adapt to that new lifestyle of being a Christian. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I guess we come from a long line of mind changers. Judging from some of the churches today, the fact is, it is possible to say the right words about Christ, but without that heart conviction or even understanding what you're saying. This is why Jesus warns us about going through the motions. I mean, you can walk into the door of a church every day of the week. It's not going to save you. You can listen to all the gospel messages and sing all the gospel songs you want. It's not going to save you unless you have a desire in your heart to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A personal relationship. Check out some of these mega churches today. When there's an altar call, it's usually It's usually accompanied by some very stirring, heart-moving music. You know what I mean? I call it swamp music. A lot of people almost kind of float down the aisle to the altar. They're in another world. And they'll stay and do anything the preacher tells them. Yeah. Repeat after me. God bless you. You are now a child of the King. Go home and tell your friends. And tell everyone you meet. It don't work that way. It's a personal thing. If you truly want to do business with God and the Holy Spirit, then go somewhere alone. Get on your face. Forget the knees. Go right flat to your face. One-on-one with God. The reason I say God is because it's God the Father. Now get this. This is important. It's God the Father who must draw you to His Son for salvation. Do you get that? It's God the Father who must draw you to His Son for salvation. Jesus said, nobody come unto me except the Father, but the Father draw him. There you go. I mean, that's not a hard thing to do. But it's a hard thing to do. A hard thing. For example, if you're really serious, you're really, really serious about salvation, do not go directly to Christ. Now, that might sound kind of like hypocritical right now, but just hear me out. Do not go directly to Christ. Go to God the Father. How do you think they did it in the Old Testament times, before Jesus was even on the earth? They prayed to God the Father. And through faith, they were saved. And they saved. The salvation became realized when Christ came and died on the cross. That solidified it. That made it real. So, do not go directly to Christ. Go to God the Father. Remember, it was God the Father who sent His only begotten Son to die for our sins. It was God the Father who sent Him. In obedience to His Father, Jesus went to the cross. And I'm glad He did. Jesus also made it very clear that all that He did was, now hear this, all that Jesus did while on this earth was to glorify His Father. To glorify His Father. Everything. In everything, He gave thanks to the Father. God the Father is too often overlooked in our prayer life. God the Father is the preeminence. And His Son, Jesus, would be the first to tell you that. God is mentioned over 1,400 times. Actually, around 1,419 times in the Scriptures. You get it? Well, actually, well, you know, when we pray to the Father, this is what we're doing. We're asking Jesus into our hearts. You know, we just don't say, hello, God, you know, can I get saved today? Well, you know what? That might get the ball rolling. But make sure your heart is right. You don't need to be fancy with words. You don't have to have something written down. Just talk to God and tell Him you're sorry for your sinful life. You want salvation. You want it really bad. You love Him and you believe in what Jesus Christ did at the cross. How He shed His precious blood for a sinner like you. You want to become a member of the family of God. Talk to Him. He's real. Don't talk to Him like you're talking to the wall. Talk to Him. He's real. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Talk to him. Jesus said when he was here, he said, if you've seen me, talking about himself, you've seen the Father. Jesus also said in John 6:44, the book of John, chapter 6, verse 44. Now get this, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, I alluded to that earlier. But that's where you find the actual scripture that verifies that. No man can come to me, this is Jesus talking, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Hey, that's easy to understand. So who should you pray to for salvation? Some people take a shortcut and go straight to Jesus. Now, I have some qualms about that. You know, I've been in prayer rooms quite a few years now, and I've heard people pray, and I don't want to be critical of their prayers, but I've heard people pray directly to Jesus, never mention God, and at the end of the prayer say, in your name I pray. In other words, God the Father was left out. And it's God the Father who deserves and Jesus wants to give all the glory to. And I've heard people pray to God the Father all the way through and at the end say, in your name I pray. And leave Jesus out. Now, you see, there's a system to this, but it's not difficult. When you pray, when you get on your face or on your knees or stand or whatever you're doing, pray to God the Father. He's the Father, okay? He's where your prayers have to go. He's the one that directs them to the Son, all right? Pray to God the Father. And when you've submitted your application to God the Father, what you want and in whose name you want it in, that's when you insert, in Jesus' name I pray. That usually comes at the end, or it can come anywhere in the middle and at the end, or several times through it. You pray to God the Father. That's what's important. But you pray in Jesus' name. Because Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will give it to you. Ask who? Ask God the Father. That's what he's talking about. Okay? Now, what could be clearer? I don't know. What could be clearer? When God pulled me out of a ditch a long time ago, this broken soul wasn't calling out directly to Jesus. No, I hardly knew who Jesus was. I was crying out to God the Father for salvation, who in turn drew me to his Son, Jesus. You know, Jesus always gave the glory to his Father. Always. I don't see where the difficulty is here at all. I really don't. I think it's just, you know, cut and dry. Now listen, listen to me. Please. And please don't forget this. There is only one God. One God. Some people call him by different names. The Jews call him Yeshua. Moses called him I Am. God said to Moses, when Moses asked him, who shall I say sent me? He said, I Am. I Am. Others call him Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh. I mean, they're all subtitles, but they all point to God the Father. There's only, and get this now, there's only one begotten Son of God. Only one. The name Jesus, our Savior, the risen one. All right, you got that? Now, don't make the mistake of thinking you are begotten of God. You are not begotten of the Father. We are adopted through faith in Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, if you pass him by, go directly to God the Father altogether and just ignore who Jesus is, don't say in Jesus' name, you know, that's like ignoring that Christ died on the cross, shed his blood for you. If it weren't for him, our salvation would not be possible and we'd all go to hell. When we receive Christ, we are drawn to him and we receive him, we've repented, we are saved, then we are not begotten sons of God, like there's only one, that's Jesus, but we are adopted sons and daughters of God. We are into the family of adoption. A lot of people think that they're actually, you know, a real son. I know there's churches that preach that today. I know one Bible in particular that says, you know, the only son, believe in the only son of God. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son. It's his only begotten son. Jesus is the only one begotten of God the Father. We weren't begotten of him. We were adopted by him when we came in belief, in faith, trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Then we became adopted through faith in Christ. Now, it's all right to say things like I'm a child of the King, or one of God's children, if you're truly saved. But if you're not sure, don't say that. Make sure first. Examine yourself. But you cannot place yourself equal to Christ. You can be in Christ, Christ can be in you, but you can never be equal to him. Because, don't forget, Christ is God. Alright? You get that? There is only one God, one Son of God, and one Holy Spirit, one Holy Trinity, which makes up the three of them. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There are three, but they're all encompassed into one. All right? With all due respect to my Lord God, many years ago, when I had been saved only a short time, I would always try to rationalize the three persons of God. You know, the Trinity. Then one day I picked up a can of, I don't know if you're familiar with it, a little can of oil. It's called 3-in-1 oil. That's the name of it. 3-in-1. And I thought for a moment, the reason it was labeled 3-in-1 was because it had three main purposes. And it did, and it worked. Now, isn't that what God is? Not to compare him with oil, or a can of oil. I'm not dragging God down to my level. But I'm making a point here. God is 3-in-1. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But they're really all in one. Now, what did Jesus say? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father, right? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Years ago at my home Baptist church, way down the Maritimes, when we broke up for Wednesday night prayer and went to different rooms, there was always at least one person who directed all his praying to the Lord Jesus. Remember I alluded to that just a while ago? Well, he'd begin by calling on Jesus' name. Say what he had to say, and then he would close his prayer by simply saying, Amen. He didn't say in Jesus' name, he didn't say in God's name, he didn't say in your name, he didn't say in any name. He just said, Adios, goodbye, Amen, period. And again, excuse me, pardon me, Lord, if I seem to be making fun. I'm not. I really don't mean to. So forgive me. Now, I'm not saying that you cannot pray to Jesus, like I also said, since he and the Father are one, but should we not be holden to the Father? If for no other reason, then out of respect. Out of respect. Everything Jesus did during his earthly ministry, he did it to the glory and honor of the Father. He did it to the glory and honor of the Father. Everywhere in Scripture, people are told to pray to God. Is it not God who spoke the world into existence? Huh? Is it not God who sent forth the great flood? Yeah. Is it not God who freed his people from bondage and parted the Red Sea? Oh, yes. Why do so many direct their prayers only to the Son and ignore the Father? It's just so hokey to hear, in your name I pray. In whose name? In whose name do you pray? Well, you better watch out. The devil's lurking nearby, and he could say, I'm claiming that prayer for myself. That devil, he's a shifty one, you know. He knows what's going on, and he knows what you're talking about, too. And he knows how to make inroads. Just because your heart is not in the right place, or you're not studying the Word like you should. John 14:13 tells us, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, in Jesus' name, Jesus saying this, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the, who? In the Son, right? And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's where the emphasis is. That was Jesus' earthly desire to, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he suffered greatly. He had to make a decision. Was he going to go to the cross, or was he going to, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, if there's another way, he didn't really want to go to the cross. He didn't feel a desire to go to the cross. He wanted to be obedient, though, to the Father. But he knew there was no other way. He knew that. He knew that's why he was sent. And he carried out the chore that he was given. And I'm so glad he did, if not, because I wouldn't even be preaching this word today. I'd just be on my way to hell like all the rest. He saved me. He's my Savior. And he'll save you too if you're not saved. But if you are saved, give credit where credit is due. And all the credit is due to God the Father through the Son. That's important, through the Son, in his name, okay? In Matthew 26, I'm almost finished here. Matthew 26, verse 39. As I said, Jesus was in the garden. He said, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Jesus concedes to the Father when he says, now listen to this here, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You see what he's saying here? He's saying, not my will be done, Lord, but your will. Father, your will. But if there's another way, there wasn't any other way. What we have here is the Son being obedient to the Father. Just like always. Everything Jesus did right up to the cross and beyond. And even today, it was to glorify God the Father. So I ask you, who should we pray to? Do we shortcut God the Father? Even if it can be done. Is this not selling him short? Isn't it? If you just pray directly to Jesus, I mean, you can give thanks to Jesus for what he did. But if you want something, especially if you're seeking salvation, pray to God the Father. He's the one that draws you to the Son. Now, why did the Bible Belt lose its drawers? Huh? Why? Because there was nothing there to hold them up anymore. Does that make sense? the Bible Belt went under, went down, because there was nothing there in God's eyes that could hold them up any longer. Down. They scattered like wheat in a hurricane. They put their King James Bibles on the shelf and gave themselves over to corruption, all because they wanted to do it their way, the world way. They altered God's word to suit their own lifestyle. They became lukewarm. They made God sick. And those who were not truly saved, guess what? The Bible says God will spew them out of his mouth. It's better you're lukewarm or cold. Pardon me, it's better you were cold or hot. But if you're lukewarm, forget it. It's over and done. Well, that's all I have to say for now. I hope I've been pleasing unto the Lord. I thank him for giving me this opportunity. And I look forward to when I can deliver another sermon. In the meantime, I pray that you will take these thoughts with you wherever you go. And if you're really not sure about your salvation, please, please, I urge you, examine yourself to see if you really are in the faith. Are old things passed away? Behold, have all things become new? If not, you may not, I say may not, be saved. You may just think you are. And thinking is not going to get you anywhere. Being sure, and you can be sure today. Trust in the Lord Jesus. Amen.